Good Friday morning to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. As you look back over your life, was there ever a time when you had a wonderful opportunity open before you and you were ready to take that great leap of faith, but worry or fear or something rose up inside of you and you backed away? You said no. Have you lived to regret that decision? Today, let's rejoin Moses and the 1 million Hebrews at Mount Sinai and watch this very same thing happen. The record of Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to 17, is the amazing experience of these 1 million people actually hearing the audible voice of God as God proclaims to them what we call the Ten Commandments. God intended these to be the guidelines for living God-honoring lives. No other people in the world had ever received such principles from their kings or teachers or even parents. And of course, no other people in the world had ever heard the audible voice of God speaking to them like this. It was a unique experience in all of human history. When combined with the volcano-like experience of the mountain on fire at the top and billowing smoke and trembling like an earthquake and the loud trumpet blast sound, and then the voice of God, well, I'm sure few people are standing. Children are holding tightly to parents' legs or arms or clamoring to be held, and most adults have fallen to their knees in the sand or may even have bowed their faces to the ground in fear. Just look around. How do you describe what you see and what you feel? Then the voice was silent. God did not say the end, nor that's all, folks, nor anything else. The voice simply went silent. Because God had paused, maybe for an extended time, between each commandment declaration, I wonder how long it took for people to realize it was over. Maybe the mountain stopped trembling, and the fire dwindled down, and smoke began to clear from the top of the mountain. Finally, the people began to rise to their feet, dusting off the sand from their knees and legs. It was quiet. No one knew quite what to say. In fact, no one wanted to say anything at all. It had been a totally overwhelming experience. Finally, some people, perhaps some of the elders, came to Moses and said, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die." Exodus 20, verse 19. I'm not sure I can blame them. What about you? It must have been a terrifying experience. But Moses knew this was a defining moment, just as he had faced when one day he saw a burning bush on this same mountain and that same voice had spoken to him from the fire and called him by name, "Moses, Moses," Exodus chapter 3. Moses had not backed away from that burning bush, nor had he run away. He had stood his ground, frightened as he was, and he had responded, "Here I am." That response positioned Moses to engage in a life-changing conversation with Almighty Holy God at a burning bush. Now, a few months later, 1 million people have the very same opportunity, but they are terrified. The record says they trembled with fear and stayed at a distance. Now, before we throw stones at them, put yourself there at the base of the mountain. Walk the journey they've walked, with all they've experienced as slaves in Egypt, then the 10 powerful plagues, then their flight out of Egypt in the middle of the night while Egypt is wailing at the death of their firstborn sons. Then the water tunnel through the Red Sea with huge walls of water on both sides. Then watching those water walls collapse on Pharaoh's chariot army. Then the split rock spewing water at Rephidim. And now this, the Mount Sinai volcano and booming voice of God. Honestly now, how do you think you would have responded? How have you responded when you've had an encounter with Almighty Holy God, the creator of the universe and the creator of you? Perhaps Moses hiked up the mountain just a little so his voice could be heard as he shouted to the people who were still in shock from their volcano-like experience. "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." Now let's ponder that. This is one of the most powerful statements ever spoken by any person. Fear can be a good thing, right? We warn children and teach them to be safe by fearing the danger of certain things, like running out into traffic, or wandering away from their parents in large crowds, or staying away from fire, or don't walk out on thin ice on the frozen lake, or so many other things. Fear can be very helpful, even the fear of God. Consider this powerful statement of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. King Solomon wrote that in Proverbs 9:10. Or how about this similar statement from Psalm 111, verse 10? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow His precepts have good understanding. Have you integrated this great foundational truth into your life? Have you tried to teach your children and grandchildren how to live this wisdom? But I can hear you, my friends, all around the world, as you say, "But wait a minute. God is loving and holy. He's good and trustworthy. Why should I fear God?" Oh, my friends, did you notice how God began this remarkable experience for these 1 million people? God did not begin with harshness or warnings or judgment. God began with loving invitation and promise. Remember, He said, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. For I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Exodus 19. I can hear what you're thinking, my friends. So, if God is inviting these people to a loving, safe, trustworthy, blessed, protected relationship with Him, why would Moses say that God is testing them so the fear of God will keep them from sinning? You're right, my friends. That's a good and fair question, and it's a fundamental question for living a life by God's design. Again, I call us to remember how we have warned our little children to live in respectful fear of those things that could hurt us. I'm sure you also have had to discipline your children when they disregarded your warnings or your instructions for living life wisely. Am I right? So there are two specific examples of living in fear. In one case, a person lives in fear of what could happen if they disregard the warnings or instructions and they run headlong into a burning building or out into busy traffic. The other is a person living in fear of the discipline or the punishment they will receive if they disregard the instruction of the one who loves them and is trying to help them live wisely. These wonderful Ten Commandments God has given to these 1 million people are each a clear path to living a content, fulfilled, no-regret life. If I disregard any of them and I refuse to honor God by obeying them, I should fear the consequences of what will happen in my life. God's great love for these 1 million people is what motivated God to design these 10 life principles and express them in this awesome, unforgettable experience. Now look around this huge throng of people and Moses standing up there on the hillside. Look at the smoke beginning to dissipate from the top of the mountain. What do you think the people should do in response to this powerful, life-changing encounter with God? What would you advise them to do right now? The record says, the people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Exodus 20, verse 21. Oh my! Oh my! This moment shapes the future of these 1 million people and their children and grandchildren. Instead of stepping toward God and embracing His offer of a very special holy relationship, the people stepped back, remaining at a distance from God. That decision they will regret for generations to come. Now look closely. Have you and I ever done that? Have you or I stepped away from God when God has invited us to come close to Him? What damage has that backward step done in your life and your family? So let's pause here, watching the people stepping back away from this encounter with God and watching Moses stepping forward, going further up the mountain to meet with God. History is being made right here. And here's a song to help you ponder this very critical decision. It's a decision you and I face every day, isn't it, my friends?